The news this week was the passage of tougher sanctions against Iran. But it was hard not to see the symbolism in the timing. Almost exactly a year after disputed elections in Iran sparked massive protests that captured the world's attention. Last summer, the images of protesters, members of what was dubbed the Green Movement, roused American sympathies. For a while. But by the new year, the images and the story seemed to fade away. Now, a year later, many journalists, especially Iranian Americans, are taking stock. Reza Aslan is one such reporter, author most recently of Beyond Fundamentalism: Confronting Religious Extremism in the Age of Globalization. He argues that the U.S. media got the story wrong. How they got it wrong depended on who was doing the reporting or analysis.
It almost became a Rorschach test of sorts for the media. If you were on the conservative side of the spectrum, then you saw this as the best hope that the United States had in dealing with Iran's nuclear ambitions. If you were on the liberal side, you saw this as young secularists finally standing up to the theocrats that ruled that country. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. It was actually quite a diverse, eclectic movement.
So break it down for me. All these different people with different aims in mind when they took to the streets.
We had young secularists from North Tehran and the rich suburbs of Isfahan. But at the same time, you had very conservative people from Mashhad and from Qom, the religious capital. You had the business class, the merchants, who felt as though the international isolation that has become so much worse under Ahmadinejad had really taken a bite out of their profits. You had the traditional clerical establishment who felt as though the rapid militarization of Iranian politics had pushed aside the religious fabric of society. And what they all had in common with each other is this fundamental agreement that the Islamic Republic as it exists today was neither Islamic nor a republic.
So you talked about the commentators and the pundits who each ran with a particular thread and built their entire narrative around it. What was your thread? And did you get it right?
So many of us Iranian Americans were so deeply affected by what we were seeing. I have to say, we were just as swept along in the excitement and the revolutionary fervor about what was happening in our own country. And for myself, who actually lived through the revolution in 1979, it was quite easy to see the parallels.
But in the simplest terms, the average news consumer was told that there was this great movement in the street and that perhaps the Iranian regime could fall. Was it ever a possibility?
It was never a possibility, and it's still not a possibility. That was never really a goal of the Green Movement. It was to delegitimize the regime so that it could be reformed.
So if many in the U.S. had the impression that the regime was teetering on the brink, then, of course, comes the backlash. It didn't. Therefore, the movement is dead. And that's the narrative that we hear quite a bit right now.
That's right. I mean, once the Green Movement didn't do what we wanted it to do, what we thought it would do, then it was very easy to just simply declare it dead and move on. The truth is the Green Movement has been remarkably successful in delegitimizing the Iranian regime in its current iteration in the eyes of the vast majority of Iranians. And it's time for Iran's leaders to decide, are they going to continue to pretend the people have a voice in their government, or are they going to become a full-scale military dictatorship? This is a government that is deathly afraid of its people. It is, after all, a government that came into power on the heels of a popular revolution.
Do you think anything has changed one year on about how Iranian politics is covered in the U.S.?
Perhaps the greatest legacy of the Green Movement is that it's finally proven to Americans and to the mainstream media that Iran is an incredibly complex political society. And more than anything else, it showed that the old view of Iran being run by a single man in a turban simply does not work anymore.
So where do you think interested news consumers can find all of those different voices so they can put together a nuanced contextual picture of what's going on there.
Well, I think that the average consumer of news is going to have to figure out a way to broaden the access that they have to different sources. Imagine if 20 years ago, those Chinese kids who gathered by the thousands in Tiananmen Square, imagine if they had Twitter. In 1989, the Chinese government was able to simply create a complete media blackout. But even after the Iranian government kicked out every single foreign journalist, we knew exactly what was happening in Iran, who was being arrested, who was being killed. We knew what was going on in the backroom discussions in the parliament, thanks to the people on the ground who were giving us this information, not just through Twitter, but through emails, through mobile phone exchanges. The only way that the Iranian government ultimately was able to control the flow of information out of Iran was to literally pull the plug, including government access to the internet. That is unsustainable.
Reza, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Reza Aslan is the author most recently of Beyond Fundamentalism, Confronting Religious Extremism in the Age of Globalization.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.